like to invite you over to the book of Genesis tonight, chapter 22, verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we have to gather together in your house as your body. Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us that we might hear from you. We pray, Lord, that you would empower the service tonight to glorify you and to be a blessing to us, Lord, that we might grow in the grace and understand the salvation that you've given to us in a greater way. Bless tonight, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, When God Doesn't Make Sense, Can You Trust Him? When God doesn't make sense, can you trust Him? It's an interesting question, isn't it? We are human beings, and God knows that. The Bible tells us over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." He says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now, that's that faith part, and we want to interchange that word faith and trust together. That's where we put our hands into, or our lives into the hands of God and trust Him when He doesn't make sense, because we need to be reminded that God's thoughts and His ways are not ours, are they? And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this involves an intimate relationship with the Lord. That this does not come automatic. If you'll think about Abraham's life, he's now called Abraham, but when God called him, he was Abram. And everything that he went through and allowed God to do in his life was preparation for this time here. And so he had walked with the Lord for some 25 years at this point here. He's 100 years old when Isaac was born, a little over now, 25 years. But we're going to look at two thoughts tonight, basically. God's command and the work of God's grace. God's command and the work of God's grace. So in God's command here, in the first eight verses, we find a God-honoring trial. Look at verse 2 again. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering of the mountains, which I will tell thee." I mean, can you imagine now, Abraham, God, it comes to pass that God calls him, and he says, "Abraham," and he says, "I'm here." And who knows what Abraham may have been thinking God was doing. Remember, he gave him the promise of the son, and now he's got the son. So God's going to maybe tell me about all the land that he's going to give me. God's going to maybe tell me all these wonderful things that I really can't wait to hear. And as God began to speak, it was like one knife after another knife hitting him right in the heart. Oh, oh, oh. And, you know, just to fathom what his thought processes must have been as he sat there and quietly was reminded of God's great faithfulness all the way up until this point here. Listen, did God ever mislead Abraham? No. And did God give him blessing after blessing even after Abraham failed? He saw that God was still faithful. He experienced that. And I want to remind you that Abraham was the first one to laugh. We remember Sarah laughing when it said that she's going to have a son. But I want to remind you, in the previous chapter, Abraham was the first one that laughed. And God still blessed him. What a merciful God. If a human was God, they would think maybe, well, I'm not going to bless you now. You messed up, right? You messed up, and I'm going to show you messed up. Amen? We're not as merciful as God is. We might be merciful to some extent, but we don't have the mercy of God that's perfect and without sin. So here's this God-honoring trial. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to offer your son on one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So he's not going to tell him yet. He's going to say, I want you to go in this direction, and I'll let you know when it's time. Interesting, isn't it? And so now we find a preparation. Look at this preparation here in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Did he dilly-dally in his responsibility towards God's command? Did he put it off? Did he say, I'll get to it in the afternoon? Maybe I'll get to it in the evening? How are our commitments? What are they like to God when God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek me. I want you to look for me. And guess what? When you do that, what will happen? You'll find me. I want you to seek me through my word. I want you to seek me through prayer. And it'd be a good thing to do early in the morning. And so he says, and Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Listen to this. And clave the wood for the burnt offering. So here he is splitting wood to offer up his son. So this is not a flippant thing. He calls two of his servants to make sure that everything takes place that needs to take place. And so he is working to offer his son up as a sacrifice. Now I want you to realize this also, but I don't want you to discount it or discredit it. God built Abraham up for this time. And Abraham is believing something that Hebrews bears out, and I think here as well, that somehow God put it in the heart of Abraham to still believe the promise that through Isaac, you are going to be a great nation. And so he's believing that, but nonetheless, it does not make it any easier to follow this process, but he is doing it. And so here he is preparing this offering. And notice, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. So did you see that? God, he went ahead and got the wood ready. He got his servants ready. And the Lord told him where he wanted him to go. And so he goes there. And then we find this 3-day journey. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day. So this was not just an hour trip. This was a 3-day trip. Now, it was a dark moment, wasn't it? It was a dark moment. It was a dark moment when the Lord was in the earth 3 days and 3 nights until the resurrection. Amen? And so this is a dark moment, this whole process. But it says in verse 4, in the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He saw the place that God wanted him to go to. And notice what happens right here. In verse 5, it says, and he said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, this is where I believe he had it in his heart that he thought, we're going to come back. We're going to go worship. And follow this also. Nobody can follow the Lord for you in your life but yourself. You can't bring somebody with you. You can encourage other people, but the walk of faith is yours alone. Yours alone. Think about the servants that God was talking about when he called them and then to give an account for how they invested their talents. They all gave an account for their own selves and the talents that were entrusted and given to them. Nobody could give an account for anybody else. We all had to do it, or we all have to do it for ourselves as they did as well. And so he believes he's going to come back. We're going to come again to you. I don't think it made it any easier. But let me take that back. I do believe it made it easier. Otherwise, it would have been an impossibility if he did not have the faith to believe that Isaac was going to come back. But this is a great display of trusting God. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but you promised. Isn't that good? Listen, that's a good rule of thumb when you look at the Word of God. I hear what you're saying, God. I really don't know how you're going to do that in my life, but I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to trust that you will bring this to pass. I'm telling you, the mistake is to look to ourselves instead of looking to God, who's made the promises. God has never promised to strengthen your and my flesh, but he did promise to strengthen our faith and his grace in your life and mine. So we cannot if we're going to be successful, if we're going to experience the grace of God, if we're going to have the faith that follows God, we're going to have to look to Him for our strength. And we're going to have to ask Him, what does that mean, God, in my life? How do I rely on Your strength? Show me the difference between Your strength and mine. And so, we find here that they have this three-day journey, and he says in verse 5, Abraham is displaying his faith. We're going to worship, and we're going to come again. And then I want you to see this picture of a triune God. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, that's God the Father, and laid it upon Isaac his son. Jesus had to bear his cross too, that was made out of wood. Jesus had to bear the implement that was going to take his life. Isaac did too. Abraham put it on Isaac. He didn't carry it himself. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 7, and here's a revelation of trust. And Isaac spoke to Abraham. Now they're communicating, right? Spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isn't that a good question? Isaac is not imagining himself dying. I don't know how much he understood at this time. Maybe he understood it all completely. But he did understand this. I am sure Abraham must have said to Isaac as he was growing up, do you know that God is going to do something amazing with your life? Do you know that God is going to make a nation for His honor and glory from you? How do you think Isaac must have felt about that? What? He's just the recipient. He is the recipient of all the groundwork that Abraham had gone through. You and I are the recipients of all the work that our Savior has done for us. And so, he says, I don't understand. Where's the offering? And then notice what he says here. Again, Isaac. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, verse 7, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He understood that was needed, didn't he? And Abraham said, my son, listen to this, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That sufficed Isaac. He was resting in that truth. God's going to take care of it. Whatever it might be, that God's going to take care of the lamb. And so what happens, verse 9 here, and here's the work of God's grace as we look at this. And by the way, Isaac was, I think, completely trusting his father Abraham. And all the way here and through this point as well, verse 9, and they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. So they get there, and Abraham is busy building this altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And then he goes over to his son. It says, and he bound Isaac, his son, and his son's not moving. His son is allowing the father to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. He laid him over there, bound him up, got him all situated there. And both of them are believing this promise. God's going to make a great nation out of Isaac. God has got great plans for your life and mine, even if we don't understand them. God has created you and I to whatever degree and whatever way to glorify our lives, to glorify our Heavenly Father. Even now, God is wanting to glorify Himself through your life and mine. All we have to do, as the song says, is what? Trust and obey. By faith, we just, Lord, I don't always understand it, but You are worthy, God. You are my Creator, You are my Savior, and the lover of my soul. And God doesn't always make sense to our human understanding. He doesn't. And if you've ever battled with God, if you've ever cried with God in trying to understand things, you're not in a bad place. God knows the frailty of our humanity and loves us anyway and holds us anyway and protects us anyway and blesses us anyway. Aren't you glad God is God and not us? Because he gives us more than we can ever imagine. And here's a wonderful truth. The truth is, for you and I as believers, the best that cannot even be compared to what we've ever received on this side is yet to come. We don't understand it, but the best is still to come. We look back, we look at our younger days sometimes and we say, boy, if I had the strength, you know, wait a minute. The best is not over. It's just on the horizon. And may God make that real so that we can walk through this life with the joy of the Lord, that the world might say, man, they really believe whatever they say, they really believe. I can see they believe what they say they believe. There is something real. It's not just a religion with them. There's something different that they possess. And there's no doubt there was something different for Abraham and Isaac to follow through like this. And then notice, he lays him on the altar upon the wood, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to go through with it. He was going to go through with it. And he was, tell me he wasn't trusting the Lord in his promise. When I say he was trusting the Lord, it's not just, he was trusting that God was going to make a great nation out of Isaac. And Isaac believed that God was going to make a great nation out of his life because Abraham, his father, told him so. And because of the kind of faith that he had, he believed it. And there's no doubt that Isaac had a personal relationship with the Lord to follow through. And the angel, and so he takes up the knife to slay his son, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do now anything unto him. Now listen to this. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Do you remember the centurion when he asked Jesus to heal his servant? And he said, I'll come with you and heal him. And he said, oh, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just give the word. And the Bible says that Jesus marveled. I don't understand that. But it honors God. It honors God when we obey him. Makes him marvel. How do you think it made your mom and dad marvel when you obeyed them without anything? How about when your children obey you? And it's not a song and a dance. You know what I'm saying? And a sideshow before they could do it. They just do it right away and you're like, oh, wow. That's my child. Amen? And do you know God is wanting to see that in our lives as well? He says, now I know that thou fearest God. And by the way, listen, did he not already know this was going to happen? But to watch it take place moved the heart of God. Does he not know what you and I are going to do already? Yes, because he's God. But he still wants to see our faith, does he not? God is honored by our faith in him, our trust in him. And so, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket, just like God, isn't it? By his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Why? What is the mouth of God? His presence. In the presence of God, it will be seen. God wants to bring us into His presence that we might truly see clearly and understand. That's where understanding comes, when we are in His presence. So tonight, when God doesn't make sense, we can trust Him if we are abiding in Him and He abiding in us. How does that take place? That is a journey between you and the Lord. And if you want to know how to do it, ask Him and seek Him in that. Don't wait for somebody to show you how to do it. God, You told me that I should abide in You and You would abide in me in John chapter 15. Would You please explain that to me? Being the unbelievable God that He is, He will be glad to do it if we ask. Because He says, if you knock and seek and ask, He'll answer. Amen? Amen. So tonight, may God bring us to that place when things don't make sense that we can trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the few moments that we have to spend together as we open up Your Word and now we break off to prayer. I pray, Lord, that You would create in us a heart to seek after You and to experience the things You want us to see and to experience in our relationship with You. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.